is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves, going to join the program a little bit later on. Cannot wait to get his thoughts on Phillip Rivers and the Colts and beyond in the NFL. And, of course, get some NBA updates there. I'm going to give our best bets here as we do each and every day before we say goodbye. But, Jensen, we're looking for chaos in the world of sports. I think we found some. And that's where we're going to begin this hour with our chaos candidates. Hit that bass. All right, you have won the toss. I believe you have elected to receive this week, Jensen. Who is your first chaos candidate?
All right, so it was one of the teams that I was very high on at the beginning of the season. Yes, they've gone through some injury issues. They've weathered the storm, and now they might be the storm. Lightning and thunder from the LA Chargers. It is about getting hot at the right time. And find me a team that in the AFC doesn't have any question marks. I'm actually looking for the one that has the fewest question marks, and perhaps the LA Chargers, from a common denominator standpoint, might be there. Now, I think we can agree that the AFC playoff picture is pretty wide open. We have five of those teams that have already punched their ticket. We are awaiting some division champions. We are awaiting the seeding that will happen in a couple of weeks. But I don't know whether it matters if they've got to go on the road or if they host a, shall we say, pseudo home game. Is there any team that's signing up to face that potential rushing attack? Justin Herbert playing like an MVP? No, he's not going to win it. But sometimes you look at the end. How are teams trending towards the end of a regular season? That's where I get the Chargers. If they're a wild card team, and heck, even if they're a division champion, I think they are primed for chaos in the AFC playoff picture.
Oh, I love that selection. And I'd say this. I do think it's really important for them to win the last two, win out, and again, it's not easy against Houston, and then, of course, against Denver. But we've seen them travel to Jacksonville a couple years ago, and it didn't end well there. I would love to see this team at home and hosting a playoff game. Jensen, I'm right there with you. They kind of like the Niners we talked about. They could be a sleeper team that we're not talking enough about for some real chaos in the AFC. For chaos in the AFC to have happen, you would need the Ravens to go and win Saturday night in Green Bay. And if that happens, that means we could get some ultimate chaos from your Cleveland Browns. And look, we want some drama. We want to see the final week of the regular season, a handful of games still have some meaning. There could be no more meaningful a game. We all thought it was coming down to Pittsburgh and Baltimore week 18 in the Steel City to determine the division. If the Browns can help out, ironically, the team there in the Ravens, and think about their history with Baltimore and Cleveland, it would be pretty ironic that it could be the Cleveland Browns that are saving the Baltimore Ravens if they could beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's very incestuous in this division. These teams don't like each other. These cities don't like each other. But if the Ravens go to Green Bay and get a win, Kevin Stefanski, is your job really on the line? Shedeur Sanders, is it your time to show that you're a starting quarterback in the NFL? Then go out and beat the Steelers and cause some chaos so we get some drama in week 18 of the regular season. I like to see teams that have nothing to play for still fight like everything's on the line. Some teams do and some teams don't. I'd love that to see that from the Browns. If that game against Pittsburgh still has a lot on the line for the Steelers, then I want to see if the Cleveland Browns can actually be a candidate of chaos.
I love it. And so we go to the college ranks now. Is there a team like Oregon that no one was really talking about through the first round of these college football playoffs? Were they one of the most overlooked teams in the entirety of the tournament? Has anyone heard of Ripple or seen a Ripple or felt anything? Has everyone forgotten about Texas Tech? Are we serious with the over? Are they really a dog in this game against the Ducks? The Ducks just gave up 34 to James Madison. Have you seen the Red Raider offense this year? Have you looked at the swarming defense that is going to make life miserable for Dante Moore and company? I'm telling you, Texas Tech is equipped not only to win this game going away. Texas Tech could win this whole thing, and I would not be surprised. They have been one of the best all-around teams all year. They have made it stand up with, as I mentioned, this just ridiculousness of pressure from their defensive front. They had a Heisman Trophy potential dark horse candidate, and now this is still a club that finds themselves overlooked, under the radar, and oh boy, if you take them for granted, not that Oregon will, but if you downplay them whatsoever, boy, they're going to hit you in the mouth, and then they're going to go to work on you. And I think Texas Tech, a unique position for them, not only to win against Oregon, but to really cause some chaos through the rest of this college football playoff.
Your Honor, if we could table that thought, I'd like to get back to that in just a minute, because I think you raised some very interesting numbers for Texas Tech going forward. But we just had Greg Hoops Peterson on the program, and he mentioned at the Peterson household that it's a tradition on Christmas to have steak and champagne. That's a fantastic tradition. I will say this. I'd say it's a lightning rod of subjects around this time of year every year. Are you an eggnog person or are you not an eggnog person? I, for one, am all about the nog. I got into eggnog ice cream last night. Yes, you're seeing that there. I had two helpings of that, people, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network. And to me, there's rules that have to be accompanied by this, because if you don't have rules, you have chaos, okay? And the rule is you can only get an eggnog ice cream or, you know, eggnog, and maybe you put some adult beverages in there, whether it's whiskey, bourbon, whatever your choice might be. You can only do it this time of year, Jensen. You can only do it in the holiday season. And then after the first, I think maybe you get a 3-day grace period, and then you got to put the nog away. Okay. It's got to go away until this time next year. You got about a 10-day window to hit the nog and hit it hard. Back in my days in DC, we used to have adult holiday parties, and the adult part of that was we would have a vat of eggnog with a lot of handles of spirits inside that nog. Some people thought it was disgusting. Other people thought it was the greatest concoction ever known to man. So, Jensen, I got to know, if you're going to have a little chaos this time of the year in the holidays, are you a nog person or are you staying away and avoiding at all costs?
Yeah, I'm not nogging the nog, but, you know, it's not going to be one that probably enters the old pipes here. So, you know, for me, and Greg hit a great point. So in my younger champion days, we did look at a handful of gatherings where you had the mimosas, and I've wanted to separate church and state. All right. State being, you know, the orange juice, church being the bubbles. You know, when we get older, Dave, we like things refined. We like a nice big sphere or a block in our whiskey glass or our bourbon glass. You know me well, my Clase Azul for tequila, probably coming in a week's time, celebrating, sending 2025 on its way, welcoming 2026 and a new day. But I think that you have to be very respectful. Overindulgence, never something we recommend here on By the Books.
No.
But getting to the edge of the diving board, everyone needs a little elevated heartbeat around the holidays and a little workout internally. So I don't blame you for wanting more nog, but no nog for yours truly. Come the holiday time.
Like, let's say an Eagle Rare, right? Which you turned me on to. If you put that for in sure. A little eggnog, are you just ruining the Eagle Rare, right? Some people are going to go, why would you ever put eggnog in it, right? Exactly. That's what you're going to get. I'm sorry. Other people are going to go, man, that's the greatest thing. It's Chevy Chase's Christmas vacation. This is good. This is good, right? So that's the difference of opinion on the nog. You mentioned Texas Tech. Speaking of differences of opinion, they're the fifth betting choice to win the national championship here at 8-1. So again, if you're not invested, I know we are. We've got some longer shot plays, you and I, on Miami. You've got a really nice ticket there. I've got a long one on Alabama to win this. But for the shorter shots, do you look at that and say, chaos candidate, they're underdog, as you mentioned. You get the plus $1.05 to beat Oregon. Would you look at the longer number at 8-1 and say, not only is Texas Tech live to win this game against Oregon, but real chaos to win the whole thing?
I think Texas Tech is very live to win the whole thing, man. There is so much to like about this group, how they operate, their schedule, you know, through the Big 12. And I mean, there was some resistance there. Let me table it with you this way. Do you feel that Oregon against top tier opponents this year showed you a lot? And now we're really reaching because Penn State earlier when they played them, that's an overtime game. And you know, they pass the test. They get decimated by Indiana on their home turf. They acquit themselves by blowing out USC. When they face tough competition, I don't endorse Oregon as much. Now that might be taking them for granted, but I look at Texas Tech. Has anyone really put the fear of God in them? I don't know if they have. And it's a very dangerous team to try and take down.
It is amazing to look back at the game you referenced, the Penn State game on the road when Penn State was still a top five team in the country and Oregon was done. Penn State had that game won several times until they didn't. And then you get the dramatic overtimes and Oregon figures out a way to win that game. How different would the complexion of the college football playoff be if that result was different? We've all forgotten about that. I'm glad you brought that one back up. Somehow they figured out a way. But yeah, Texas Tech, they might be the ultimate chaos candidate here that nobody is talking about. The Daily Gridiron is coming up next. We're going to talk all things NFL and also some college football and some tickets that we've already got cashed and some tickets that are right there on the horizon to be cashed. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, going to have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel join us in the very next segment. Get to our best bets here before we say goodbye in this Tuesday edition. But Jensen, we got a lot to get to here. Week 17 of the NFL season set to begin in just about 48 hours on Christmas Day. And get to some tickets that we have in pocket that have cash and will cash. And that's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron. Hut.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
I feel like I might be sitting on a dead ticket. Cowboys over 7.5. They got to win the last two. They will be favored to do so. In DC, 6.5-point favorites, and they will be favorites, we believe, against the Giants, unless you tell me that it's going to be Joe Milton, the quarterback, and that would be another story for another day. But Jensen, where do you kick it off when you look at that Thursday game, which we thought at the beginning of the year would have importance at least for one team, and it really doesn't for either?
Well, this is the stress test of, is the NFL still king? We believe it will, but what is the margin that they will be king by over the NBA's premier slate, or at least the one they think is one of the best of the year? Okay, so some trends. Even though the Cowboys and the Commanders are eliminated from postseason competition, Dave, the Cowboys enter as road favorites. They did not cover in their last game at home there as a short favorite against the Chargers, but that game did go over the total. In this scenario, the last 10 times that's presented itself, 8 of those teams have covered, including 5 consecutive instances. So that trend is active on your Cowboys at 6.5 favorites on the road in our nation's capital. Also worth mentioning, on Saturday, the Ravens and the Packers, obviously this game means still a lot to both teams. But it is a matchup of a team with a lower win percentage, that being the Ravens, than their opponent, the Packers. And this is a fade of teams in must-win situations as far as their opponents in Week 16 and 17. the last 10 times that has occurred. 7 times a winner in cover, including 3 straight ATS. That is active on the Ravens plus 2.5. And I know what people are thinking, like, wait, hang on a minute. You want me to back Snoop Huntley on the road after they just blew a double-digit lead against the Packers, where potentially it's Jordan Love, Packers win, and they're in. Okay, that's one to think about. But still, hey, a trend is a trend. And then finally, week 16 games, or I should say week 17 games, matching sub-500 teams where the opponent has lost its previous game. That is the Bengals and the Cardinals. That's a system match. They're both under 500. And the Cardinals lost their previous game to the Atlanta Falcons. The Bengals won. They're laying 7. And Dave, in the last 10 instances, that has been a cover in 8 of those last 10. It's a 73% cover percentage the last 17 years. You can make money on bad teams and ones that may or may not be motivated. That was a whopper for me that stood out. And I know Paul Kelly, for you fantasy players out there, circled that one in particular. We could see a track meet back and forth with both those beleaguered defenses.
We saw Emo Joe look like Joe Burrow. He looked like Cool Joe again last week in that throttling of the Dolphins. If the heart's in it and he's going to play all 4 quarters, I'm picking up what you're putting down there. We've got some tickets that have already cashed. We got others that are on the doorstep of cashing. So we love doing this. I mean, we started making wagers last February here in the program here on By the Books. And some of those tickets have already been burnt up by me. Others are still going. What do you have that might be profitable going forward?
Yeah. All right. So you and I on that Chargers to win the AFC, and we made wager middle of the season. So rooting interest there for sure. I love bringing up the Kelly Bidlin special. This was a Colin Morikawa top 20 finish at the Genesis Invitational early this year, parlayed with the Bills at the time to win the Super Bowl. It's 11-1, still active. That number's down to 9-1 right now, just on the Bills to win it all. Texans, I told you I made 2 Super Bowl bets right after the Eagles beat the Chiefs. One was the Falcons at 60-1. The other was at the Texans 30-1. That's now down to 16-1. So we've got some nice movement.
Love there.
Chargers Eagles is a Super Bowl exacta still alive for me. Early before the year, Dave, I got it 34-1. It's 53-1 right now. Not really a surprise there. Bears to win the NFC. I'm loving it, baby.
Look at that.
I'm loving life. That one is a monetization special. Mike Palm will ask him his thoughts on that coming up on the Christmas edition of VSiN by the Books. And then the Chargers Niners Super Bowl exacta that I put in our NFL betting guide. That was 63-1 before the year. It's up to 84.5-1, which is kind of weird. But hey, it is what it is. Some nice tickets in pocket.
I look at that last one. Why 84-50 for the Chargers? Niners could be the one seed. Chargers might win the division. That would get knocked way down, Jensen. And your ticket at 63-1 would have real value, I would believe, because I don't think that that's as far-fetched as 84-50-1. Jensen, I've cashed some Seahawks tickets. We talked about that as the year's gone on. Those were rocking chair winners there for a plus money at 8.5 wins and over adjusted win total at plus 210 there. This Dolphins one is becoming a real sweat for me. I had 4 chances to get it. They've lost the first 2, and I got 2 shots to win one more game here. I don't feel confident, to be honest with you, because Tampa Bay needs the game this week, and New England is going to need that game. So maybe some hedgeable spots if they can't get an upset here. And this one, and then I'm still holding on to that Seattle ticket. You and I are both looking. I don't have anything on Seattle to win the conference. So this is kind of as far as I thought they could get back when I made these bets in the preseason. But at now at plus 679, if they get to that, I think they're going to beat Carolina, with all due respect to the Panthers, this Sunday. That game against the Niners, I could be able to monetize those tickets there. If it comes down to San Francisco and Seattle with one game to win it, I'll look for creative ways to get in on that, but I still think we got really good shots there. The Dolphins won. I don't feel as good as I did 2 weeks ago on it.
I don't blame you. This is one of those intriguing parts there of where you handicap in the middle of the year, looking for momentum, trying to get some of those adjusted win totals. Okay, we're going to go bowling again today, Dave. 3 games beginning early. If you missed out on the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, it was a dead under until it wasn't. The over hits yesterday with a couple of minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Okay, the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl. If you've never been to Flagler Credit Union Stadium in Boca Raton, don't worry. None of us have either. Louisville is 8.5-point favorite against Toledo. I don't know, man. I don't think this is particularly close. I think they get it done rolling away. The New Orleans Bowl down at Caesars Superdome. You like a track meet? Can I interest you in the Hilltoppers and against the Eagles there of Southern Miss? Over 59.5. We like that. And then in Dave's backyard, the Ford Center at the Star, the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. UNLV, the runner-ups against the Bobcats of Ohio. I don't know whose defense is going to make a stop in this game. Maybe neither team punts. That would be fun. Over 66.5. Those are bowling bets for you here on December 23rd.
Love it. We got some tweets coming in here, and we got one from our buddy Billy Charlie Boy, who says, as a Washington Husky fan, I've been born and bred to hate Oregon. That being said, I loved what Dan Lanning said in his last soundbite. He's 100% correct on what and who should host. So, Jensen, I think we got some momentum there if we can make you commissioner of college football for a day to go along with Dan Lanning. We were talking about the eggnog as well, and this was interesting because I mentioned the Eagle Rare, and Jason H118 says to you and I, the nog must be spiked, but not with Eagle Rare.
No,
the nog needs rum. That's all, nothing fancy. Give some suggestions out there, maybe a Knob Creek 12 or a Russell's, a private barrel to try on your bourbon journey. And then we got one from Jose Cuevo, who says, from Tom, he says, eggnog memory. My folks drank rarely, but would host Christmas parties where the literal centerpiece was a huge vat of eggnog mixed with brandy, not the tastiest. So we're getting opposing viewpoints, but I tell you, Tom, that's exactly what our holiday parties look like. There wasn't a whole lot else except for that centerpiece table with a huge bowl of nog and a lot of different spirits in there. So I'll be very curious how people are spending their holidays. But I think the people have spoken, Jensen. They're with you on this one. The Eagle Rare stands alone. Don't mix that with the nog.
Your next evolution in my journey for you is to get you some Weller Foolproof to be able to try standalone. And we will baptize you into that. This coming year. And again, speaking of baptism, if anyone out there wants to get a little sponsorship, we are happy to put the bourbon out 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every weekday here on VSiN by the Books.
We're always open to those suggestions. And one more from Billy, because our next guest is coming up here, is the great Jonathan Von Tobel. And he says, the thing about having Jonathan Von Tobel on is he sugarcoats everything. He never tells us how he feels.
Never.
This is exactly why he co-hosts Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni here weekdays, and the network's going to be on the program next. And you know we're going to get into it because I'm curious his actual, forget about the awards markets for a second here, comeback player of the year. Was he impressed by Philip Rivers yesterday? Because you know where I stand on this. I was very impressed by what we saw from Phil the Thrill last night coming off the couch at 44 and playing the position of quarterback that I did not know he could still do 5 years removed. So we'll get JVT's thoughts on that and also the NBA. Get his thoughts here in OKC, a couple setbacks this past week. Is there any trouble on the horizon there? That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We always look forward to our Tuesday conversations with JVT. Give him a follow on X at MeJVT, co-host Money Moves here on the network, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with Stormy Bonantoni. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, good morning to you, sir. We had a lot of fun going back and forth a little bit last night on X about what we saw with Philip Rivers. Are you not entertained? Where are you on this? Because I think we both actually agree that we don't think Philip Rivers is going to win the award. But I think the question is, why? Is it just based on the merits, or is it based on the criteria that he's not technically eligible to win the award?
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. I guess that would be the crux of our argument, if you will, on social media yesterday. Anybody that's telling you he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year is a fool, because if Sam Darnold couldn't win it in his year in Minnesota, then nobody's going to win it if they're just coming back from extenuating circumstances that are not injury. The AP did leave itself open to an extent when they clarified the award, but then left in at the end of the clarification or other circumstances. which means that anybody could perceive anything to be something and then vote for a guy to win comeback player of the year. I think that's why Darnold got a few votes, but I think a vast majority of these voters who have a vote are going to look at this and say, you have to come back from injury. And if that's the case, then I think that he's probably not even going to have a shot. I think the more interesting question, and Dave, Jensen, I always say this, you know, I always wish there was like more creative markets around some of these awards. What would you set the odds at? Will Phillip Rivers get a first place vote? Yes or no? Because I think stuff like that is a little bit more interesting. Not will he win? Because he won't win. The question just becomes, will anyone vote for him?
I think it's fascinating. It is an intriguing part of it. And, you know, revisionist history with the Joe Flacco thing coming off the couch, you know, just knowing that, you know, he was able to take the Browns to the postseason. It's a great case study and it's a great idea. Speaking of great, you've been really rock solid down the stretch here, kind of handicapping teams that have been elevating, teams that have been coming down in the NFL. Where do you stand now as far as the NFC hierarchy here? Is this a clear... Everyone's chasing the NFC West, regardless of who ends up winning the division, getting the one seed. Anyone in your mind from a power ranking standpoint that hangs with those three teams in the West?
I don't think they really hang. I mean, I think that's really about it right now. And look, I still think you have some questions about the San Francisco 49ers defensively. I know Dave thought it was incredible yesterday. I thought I watched Phillip Rivers throw into a ton of wide open receivers yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think Shane Steichen deserves a ton of credit for the way that he was scheming up that offense and cutting them up. And look, Rivers deserves a ton of credit as well for finding the open guys. But that was actually a very similar game for both offenses. It was just that the Colts kind of fell off a cliff in the second half and Brock Purdy just kept finding open guys. So I don't know if I'm really all in on San Francisco, but Jensen, I do think you're right. I think the Seahawks and the Rams are up there. I think you can make the argument 1-2 for whatever. To me personally, it's still Rams 1, Seahawks 2, or it's more like 1A, 1B, given the difference between these two for myself in terms of the ratings. And I think that's it. But I'll throw one thing out there. Look, I will say that maybe my well is poisoned because, Dave, I don't know if you saw, but I am lucky like you to have participated in a blackjack exhibition recently. And let's just say we're big Bears fans in the Von Tobel household now. But let me say that if the Bears somehow steal the one seed and you've got to go to Chicago to face that running attack that Ben Johnson has schemed up in those elements, I don't think the Bears are a team that you want that to happen to. You'd rather have them have to go on the road, have to have Caleb Williams, of course, be forced to throw the ball around because he's still sub 60% completion. The efficiency is not really there. But that's one of the best running games in the NFL, guys. And if you're going to run into a certain path where, like, you take on the San Francisco 49ers, who they'll be next week, who has a really weak run defense, where you take on some of these teams that might have some issues with your running attack, then all of a sudden you're looking at the Bears being more formidable. I think the bracket would have to break right for them. I think they would have to be the one seed. But a path for Chicago that includes home games against maybe a team like Philly or San Francisco, it's not the worst thing in the world. And I think we could be surprised if we see like a Chicago Bears in an NFC championship game, similar to what we saw from Washington last year.
Oh, I love it. And I love your ticket there. And I thought last week, the improbable comeback, the way it was, to do that in the elements, in the wind, in the cold, is only going to help them if they get that number one seed. Because if you do get some teams that are not familiar with that, now Caleb Williams is a little bit more adjusted to that. I think that bodes well if they can get that number one seed, big if right there. When you look at the Christmas Day games coming up here, and of course the NBA is going to take center stage as well with the three games not having that much importance. I'm curious, one, from a viewing standpoint, how the Von Tobel household is going to look on Christmas Day, and two, anything that you like from a betting perspective, whether it's the Christmas Day games in the NFL or the center stage ones in the NBA?
Well, I'll say this, the Von Tobel household this year is going to be really quiet. My kids are in California. I got nobody around, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And I don't have to go, have to go and work. Stormy's got live bet Christmas that day, so it's going to be crazy. I'll say this, for the football games, one of the spots that I think is somewhat interesting, there's two of them. I don't know how many points you're getting in Detroit and Minnesota. If you look over the last 5 weeks or so, Detroit's offense, especially on the ground, success rate wise, I believe they're 30th in the National Football League. They've not been able to run the ball. They've been awful. Flores, has been scheming up some defensive game plans against each one of these opponents for Minnesota that has kept them in some of these games. And on the flip side, with the Minnesota Vikings and the quarterback situation, I think that this is going to be a low-scoring, ugly game between these two teams. I understand it's indoors, but neither of these offenses, I think, are going to be overtly effective here in this game. I know we've already seen this go from 48.5 at some spots in the open down to 44.5. I think you can make the case that 44.5 still play under here, just considering how inefficient the Lions offense has been for a while. And I'm kicking myself, so maybe I'm just trying to chase the ghost here. But all last week, it was a paralysis by analysis where I was like, you know, I think it's too easy, right, for Tennessee. It's too easy to catch the Chiefs. It's too easy to sit there and think they're going to get slaughtered. And now all of a sudden, here they are. It looks like Chris Oladokun is going to get the start here for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos coming off of a loss on the road against a bitter division rival. Not only would I think 13.5 here, but maybe look at some alt lines potentially. Can Denver not just go out here and take a defeated Kansas City team to the woodshed and do what they want with them? I think that this is going to be an ugly game here for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think this is a great litmus test too, JBT, on does the NBA close the gap on Christmas Day with what is basically a throwaway three games here that don't really have many implications outside of Denver needing to still win and Detroit obviously to win to try and stay alive in the playoff race. Speaking of staying alive, now I've told this to Dave, and I don't know if it's a three strikes and I'm out mentality here. I've been burned by my Cavaliers here the last couple of times I've been on. I'm jumping back in the well tonight, and this might be it. It might be lump of coal rest of the way. They're laying a huge number against the Pelicans. Pelicans had to go to the brink last night, but they get it across the line. Am I a fool for believing that it can finally turn around for my Cavaliers, who have just looked dreadful in spots?
I don't know, man. The Pelicans are playing some really good basketball right now. They've won five straight. They're covering these games. I think, and by the way, they're one of the best cover teams in the NBA, as you can see it right there. And Zach Cohen, who hosts Harvard Handicappers, Jensen, he's done a really good job with this. And he pointed this out. Look, the Pelicans are like, they're still like a relatively talented team. They've got some really good young pieces, obviously Fears, and then of course Derek Queen. And the way that they're playing, you're starting to see it come together. Since James Borrego has taken over, you have an adult in the room at head coach. Now all of a sudden they're a well-schemed group. And as you well know, your Cavs have been really dinged up with injuries, and especially on the second leg of a back-to-back after a tough game against Charlotte. I know both teams are on the second leg of a back-to-back, but I think I'd rather back the New Orleans Pelicans here on a big number. I think they can stay inside this against your Cavs. I mean, by the way, are they looking ahead? I mean, it's going to be their third game in four nights, but they got Christmas against the New York Knicks coming up, and I think you want all hands on deck for a primetime standalone spot against a team that could blow you out in front of everybody if you're not focused.
JVC, when not I look at this, and I mentioned not what Jensen wanted to hear, JVT, here on this Tuesday morning. I mentioned it earlier in the program. For everybody, go back, give a like, and subscribe to the Visa by the Books. You can take a listen to You Can't Handle the Truth. And my whole part about that was the criteria. And I actually gave credit to the NBA, kind of buttonholing this whole Phillip Rivers Comeback Player of the Year award, because to me, that's the ultimate comeback, what we've seen. But that does not necessarily mean the same thing that it could mean to you. When the NBA put in criteria to clear up these awards markets to make it a 65-game minimum, and you had to play 20 minutes of a game to qualify as a game played, I think that was for bettors. That was for transparency in these marketplaces to make it more actionable. Why wouldn't the NFL just copy the trend that the NBA did and said, hey, Phillip Rivers, unless you play, say, six games, whatever the arbitrary number is, then we don't have to have these conversations and debate what a comeback story really is.
Yeah, I mean, I also think you want to really clarify it, Dave. Just call it Comeback from Injury Award. Like, you don't, like, that's, I think, the clarification you need. You don't need to just call it Comeback. Because again, when I would always go back to those arguments, it was funny because you would get into an argument with somebody and they would tell you, well, what's he coming back from? Sucking? Yes. Like, that's, yes, you're using the word. Yes, he's coming back from being bad, or he's coming back from retiring. This is how this thing works. But to your point, just put comeback. So like injury award, whatever it is, put the word injury in it and just call it a day so we don't have to talk about this. But I think a lot of people have realized that this is going to be the case. Clearly, he's not getting that much action because he's still at 16-1 even after yesterday. So it's either that or people realize that he's being carried by Shane Steichen. Either way.
Yeah, he's basically the arm surrogate for Shane Steichen, kind of like Jared Goff was back in his day with Sean McVay.
Former UW quarterback.
There you go. And I'm sure you and Stormy might talk about this a little bit here later on today on Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. JVT, appreciate the time. As always, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the day, man. No kids. All you got is hoops and football. It sounds like a dream to me. Our best bets, they're up next.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, and the holidays may slow everybody else down, but not here at VSiN. While you're celebrating, traveling, or taking a rare day off, we're going to be live all Christmas Day, Jensen. It starts with wall-to-wall coverage, and you and I are going to kick that off here with VSiN by the Books, followed by a numbers game, a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through the early action, and then the afternoon and the evenings, we're going to keep the insights coming with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and Cashing Out. So even if your routine shifts during the holidays, your betting coverage does not have to change at all. From bowl season to NFL action, plus the NBA's holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage all day. Look at that lineup if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network. Certainly VSiN Watch app and VSiN.com. You'll be able to check all that out here on Christmas Day. We just had Jonathan Von Tobel in the program. No kids, can do whatever he wants. I would be toggling back between the NFL and the NBA. But Jensen, this is the problem with streaming services because it's going to be on Netflix. Once you get locked in, it's hard to toggle back and forth. This is where you got to do the multiple TVs.
Yeah, and you remember that the Thursday night game is Amazon Prime. So you'll be toggling even further between streaming networks, streaming platforms, if you will.
My goodness. Hang
in there, pal. You'll be all right. All good. We'll be fine.
A lot of thumbs I got to get moving on the on the clicker there. And it was fun having JVT. And again, we might not differ on the who's going to win the award. I think, by the way, by the Maris, to put a bow on, I'm not laying $7 with Christian McCaffrey, but he was $3 betting favorite before last night's game. And then another monster game from McCaffrey. He vaults up to -$7 to win comeback player of the year. Where we might differ, and I'm okay with that, certainly, you know me, is that were we impressed by what we saw with Phillip Rivers? And is that, to me, that's really impressive what I saw. And JVT obviously not as impressed as I was by what we saw from old man Phil last night. And that gets into that question of what a comeback is. I'm not, shall we say, shocked and awed by Christian McCaffrey coming back from injury, which he's done several times in his career, dating back to his Carolina days, because I've always known him to be this type of player. So I'm not, to me, it's not like, wow, look what he overcame. It's more to me in the spirit of the award. And this is where that interpretation comes in. That's where I go, wow, that is a true comeback to me in every sense of the word. But no, I would not bet it that Phillip Rivers can win the award at 16-1 because McCaffrey's merits, the numbers he's put up, Jensen, is the reason why I wouldn't vote for Phillip Rivers. It has nothing to do with the criteria. It has to do with the actual accomplishment.
It's going to be remarkable to see not only who ends up winning it, but what the margins are for first, second, and third. Like, where were the voters and what was their discretion or their criteria of why they put certain guys where they did?
Speaking of some criteria, this is interesting. And this comes from our buddy Shams Charania, who does a great job covering the NBA. And talking about tanking, that maybe there's some rules coming in here, almost anti-tanking, if you will, from Shams. The NBA and its stakeholders have started talks on finding new solutions to prevent tanking. And the league proposed multiple ideas to the Board of Governors as the sides brainstorm cures. And part of that, Jensen, could be not allowing teams to draft in the top four 2 years in a row, locking in lottery positions after March 1st, limiting pick protections to either top four or 14 and higher. And sources said multiple ideas are being proposed Friday in this brainstorming measure. The one that does kind of catch my attention is not allowing a team to draft in the top four 2 years in a row. OKC is where they are from continually having high draft picks. Stan Presti and company, knowing that their process was, we can't win it now, so let's make sure over multiple years we keep putting ourselves in positions to get the Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders of the world and then really start. And now it looks like they've got a dynasty formed. Do you feel like this is almost an anti-OKC measure going forward, that the league sees it as some sort of problem the way OKC has built it up?
Well, I think the league is trying to stay competitive all the way through the end of the year. The baseball did a similar idea where you're ineligible, after the second year or third year to pick in the top 10 or top 13.
Yes.
Of its amateur draft, and I'll have to reacquaint myself with the exact rules of who is allowed in and who is not. Listen, you know, this is a league that has the super maxes and you know, all the aprons as far as, you know, the salary caps are concerned, trying to keep super teams, you know, from being formed. Remember, you know, it was just a couple of years ago where now you're not getting the big threes anymore, if you will, from free agency. OKC, maybe that last pillar, Dave, of where it was homegrown, where they are able to have those guys. Now, they're still going to have to make decisions moving forward on who they're going to pay those extensions to. But I think this is all predicated on the league really trying to make sure that the product remains consistent all the way through the season.
It is interesting that they're having those discussions now. So clearly this has been something that's been brewing behind closed doors and now starting to make the light of day. Let's see if any of those proposals are actually taken action on. You've got some action on some NBA games tonight here, and some of those that are FanDuel Sports Network, they can watch some of these games that you've wagered on here. Jensen, what do you have in certain markets?
All right, I'm gonna start with the light ones, and we'll end with the behemoth here. So our friends on FanDuel Sports Network Southeast, I like the Hornets -5.5 against the Wizards tonight. Let's stay in the Southeast and also look at the Hawks -4 against the Bulls. So middle weight short favorites, if you will, for both those teams. Like them to get it done, both in their respective home arenas. Also like in the Southeast, the Grizzlies laying 2.5. at the Jazz, an opportunity and a scheduling spot for them to take advantage of. We've been really great with our friends at FanDuel Sports Network Detroit. Like the Pistons, a little bit of a heavier favorite here, -8 at the Kings. We're going back to the well for the final time. My friends at FanDuel Sports Network Ohio. I'm nothing if not loyal, and I've gone back and forth about putting the Cavaliers on the ban list one more time. It's the Christmas spirit. It's the season of giving. And I'm going for broke here. 3-unit play. Cavaliers got them this morning at -9.5. They're up to 10 in some spots. If we don't get this one across the line, Dave, we may need a moratorium on my hometown team. Well, let's go, boys. I know, and I'm with JVT. You got the Knicks on deck for Christmas Day. But let's do it right. Let them know at Rocket Arena tonight.
You might have noticed a rise in my voice there. That's because we do a segment each and every week of Hold or Fire. And again, if you, wherever you get your podcast, go back and take a listen. We did this earlier in the show, and we mentioned there just hours ago that we would suggest firing on the Cowboys at 6.5 before that number, that key number, moved to 7. Jensen is moved to 7. I think somebody watched the show today and they've made that big move. So that is significant when you get off that key half number. And we mentioned it there. That's why we said fire on the Cowboys is 6.5. If it goes down to 6, it doesn't hurt you as much. But when it goes up to 7, as it has now at DraftKings, that is significant. It shows you we're trying to be anticipatory of the line move. So if you can still find the 6.5s out there, shop around now. Because Jensen, I think those are going to go by the wayside here. Some of the numbers that you gave out would support this line move that we've seen up to 7. That total also is up to 51. So I think people are kind of hip to what we were getting out here a couple hours ago on the network, that if you like Dallas and still find those rogue 6.5s, do it now, Jensen, because they're starting to disappear in real time.
It's amazing. And just one of those trends we mentioned in Daily Gridiron. It again, for games that may not matter, there's still great ways to make money off bad teams. And I will repeat that one. Road favorites not covering in their last game, but that last game going over the total. 5 straight covers, Dave, and 8 of the last 10, that being active. So if you can find the Cowboys at 6.5, that is a pretty staunch trend that is active here on Christmas Day.
We also mentioned in the same segment, hold. You would probably want to hold on Denver and hold your nose and fire on the Chiefs. And if you had the 13s out there, 12.5 at DraftKings. So again, this is real time, people, as we do this segment and did it earlier in the program, where you're seeing these half-point moves already. So it seems like the betting market's starting to take positions here on the Christmas Day games. Do you have anything in pocket yet for Christmas Day? Because I do not have anything in. And by the way, this time last week, you and I were both ahead of the curve on Seattle. And boy, did that pay dividends in the end, as crazy as that Thursday night game was a week ago.
Nothing in pocket yet, but may later this afternoon, maybe into this evening. Just again, still want to know at least a little more information on who people plan to start at quarterback and maybe for the duration, specifically the Cowboys side, you know, for how long Dak's going to play as well.
Yeah, it feels like an NBA game, right? We got to figure out who's starting, when those reports come out, and then the numbers move overnight as we see each and every night in the NBA. Jensen, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll do it again on Wednesday. We're here all week throughout both holidays here, Christmas and next week on New Year. So we'll be a part of your mornings right here on VSiN. If you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, all you have to do right now is go to VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app, Gil Alexander, and Danny Higgins in this week for Kelly Bidwin. It's a numbers game up next.